Welcome to the HMO Experience, the UK's only HMO-focused property podcast, where every Monday, Matt, Jamie and Steve will inform and inspire you about everything to do with HMOs, rent to rent, and how to set up and grow a successful HMO business, whether you're just starting out or you're already on your way.
Hi guys, I'm Matt Harris and welcome to the HMO Experience. In this episode, we're going to be covering off the essential steps for a successful rent-to-rent property viewing. I want to welcome my co-host, Jamie. Morning, everyone. And Steve.
Afternoon, everyone.
And we're going to take you through, in this episode, some of the bits and pieces that we follow, I guess, when we carry out property viewings for a rent-to-rent property. So with that in mind, I'm going to let Steve kick us off on this little journey, and I will butt in where necessary, and I'm sure Jamie will add some valuable little nuggets as well.
Cool. So, for me, the viewing actually starts before the viewing. So that might sound a little bit back to front, but with rent to rent, what I've found, and perhaps you found more so in London than out in the sticks where we are, you need to be able to make decisions really quickly because there's bound to be some competition on your heels. You've not only got other HMO management companies or rent to renters, as they're known as, following your footsteps. The agent also may be thinking about renting it out on a single let. So you've got to be able to make a decision relatively quickly, unlike when you're purchasing a property where you've got a little bit of time on your side. So the preparation for the viewing always starts well before we actually do the viewing.
Yeah.
And that preparation is mainly around the numbers. And I think we'll do another episode on how to do the deal analysis.
Definitely.
And Jamie's got some HMO hacks coming up. So he'll share those insights with you. But you need to know what you can offer. And in an ideal world, you've done all your testing, your adverts, all that before you're doing the viewing. You've done a run through of the numbers so you know what the cash flow is likely to be.
Yeah.
Obviously, you've got your what we call the minimum deal value. So that's the absolute minimum that we're prepared to take that property on at. And for us, that's £500. In other parts of the country, it might be different amounts, but you should try and stick by that. And with that number, you then go in and negotiate. But you don't do the negotiation first off. It's checking to make sure the property is what we call fit for purpose. So if the property is an existing HMO, then you know that the majority of the key elements are fit for purpose. What do I mean by that? Fire regulations, HMO license, that it's got paying customers, because you'll be able to see if there's if the rooms are occupied or not. If you're going into an existing HMO, and let's say it's a six bed and only two rooms are occupied, you've got to ask the question, why?
Yeah.
And that'll either be because it's not being run or operated effectively, in which case, massive opportunity.
Yeah.
Or if it does look like it's being run properly, then maybe there's a problem with the supply and demand.
Definitely.
But you'd hopefully have checked all that out prior to going on viewing.
Yeah.
So the other things that we do when we're going around, particularly where a property is occupied, is we do little things like, which some of the agents think are bizarre, like we flush the toilet.
Yeah, I picked that up from you.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you don't want to be taking on properties and then having to spend a load of money on things like the hot water not working, or that the drains are blocked, or that the shower doesn't heat up and work. So we want to go in and check all those things out, ideally on the first viewing.
Yeah.
And the whole premise for that is so that we can make decisions quickly and we can make an offer quickly and therefore secure the property quickly.
Yeah.
If we didn't do that, then there's two potential consequences. The one first one is, as I've already said, you might be taking on something that needs some work and therefore some extra money. Second thing is that you can put those elements into the negotiation.
Yeah,
easy for me to say. You put those elements into the negotiation so that it balances out if your agent is asking for too much and you can only offer so much, then you've got some other weapons in the arsenal to trade off with.
Mm.
So it's always good to know those things up front. And by knowing those things up front, it means that we can move direct to the offer, normally on the first viewing.
Yeah.
We obviously, if it's an existing HMO, all the room sizes are good to go, although we'll put a strong caveat in that you should always do your own measurements and your own checks.
Yeah, definitely, I was going to say.
Yeah, because there's a lot of HMOs that weren't properly licensed or have subsequently fallen foul of the change in legislation, whereby rooms were able to be rented out, and now under the new regime, they're not able to be rented out. So again, you don't want to be left with a property, let's say a six bed, you take it on, you find out we can't rent one room out, that's going to impact your cash flow, and you'll be making a little bit of profit or breaking even, or in worst case scenario, losing money, which
is definitely
not the aim of what we're looking to do.
Carrying around a little laser.
Yeah, exactly. We use Magic Plan. So when Courtney, who's our property manager, goes around and looks at prospective properties, she'll just quickly take out her iPad, do a very quick calculation. If it's marginal, then she'll go to that a little bit extra detail. But if it's like 12 square meters and it's obvious, then it's all good. So the process should be quick. So therefore, it's focusing on the functionality of the property, and do your numbers before the viewing, so that you know what the maximum is that you can offer from a rental perspective. As you're going around the property, you might be picking up little bits and pieces that you can use as leverage to get work done. So that's what we do if the property is occupied. If it's not occupied, if it's a standard residential property that we're looking to convert into an HMO, then more works is likely to be done. And the normal thing to happen is to put a stud wall up between the two reception rooms. So it would be really handy to know before you go into that viewing to know what that's roughly going to be. And so therefore, having a good handyman on your power team, or a plasterer or a carpenter or those types of guys will give you an indication of what that cost is likely to be, so that you can factor that into your costings and be able to respond quickly. The other things that you need to consider, whether it's a residential property or an existing HMO, not so much if it's an existing HMO, is the furniture. So where there are small rooms, you need to give consideration to the types of furniture that you're buying, and in particular storage. So we look at buying beds with storage underneath or storage drawers. Rather than putting in a wardrobe and a chest of drawers, we buy, I think they're called gentlemen's wardrobes, so not meant to be sexist or anything, sorry ladies, I'm sure there's a ladies equivalent, but I believe it's called a gentleman's wardrobe, where you've got sort of hanging space above and drawer space underneath. So again, you're sort of minimizing the furniture requirements and maximizing the storage solutions within the rooms. If they're bigger rooms, then you need to figure about that. But certainly those are some of the things that we're thinking about as we're going around the viewing. What furniture are we going to need to put in here so that we can build those costs into our deal analysis to work out how much the lease rate's going to be if we're going to lease it, or if we're going to buy it, we need to make sure we've got money in the bank to be able to purchase that property, that furniture, sorry. So those are some of the things that we look for. What about you when you're going around in London?
When I so I will do some similar prep in terms of the numbers, because you know, I spend quite a bit of time researching the area that we operate in. I kind of now have a gut feel in terms of if I see a property online, hopefully we'll have a floor plan, which will make it easier so you can get a good idea of the sort of room sizes. And then I'll know, so you mentioned in terms of profit numbers, we generally work on around sort of £750, £800 a month net. For a five bed, it'll be £1,000 plus for a six bed. And, you know, having sort of looking at the general layout of the property and the location is important. And then on the actual viewing itself, checking sort of the state and condition of the property, like is it in good decorative order? You know, are there You mentioned obviously checking the toilets. The other thing we do, certainly the hot water, you know, checking under the cupboard under the stairs to see where the gas meter is and where the electrical meter is. You know, make sure that there's a doorbell, sort of little things like that. Also to see what sort of standard the doors are. If it's not, so we've only taken on one property that was set up to be HMO.
Okay.
All the others have been converted into an HMO. So checking out what the standard of the doors were. Are they suitable? Are they fire doors already? Are the you know, smoke alarms interlinked, hardwired? Mm-hmm. So those are really the most important bits. And checking whether there are thumb locks.
Mm.
Yeah.
In there already as
yeah,
well.
One of the things that we've noticed is that, particularly from doing the mentoring, is that the back door very rarely gets checked.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah. All of the external doors have to have a thumb turn.
And we had to get one changed on our one of our properties, and it was a pretty straightforward process. They just have to take out the locking mechanism.
Yeah,
and
yeah. It doesn't cost much, but you need to you need to factor that in, don't you? To get the calculations.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it's that sort of stuff. And then I think the one thing that we don't do is we don't put up stud walls. Mm-hmm. So we will generally go for properties that either have three beds and one reception. If they have a quite a large reception, you know, we've looked at a few properties where there has been the option to put up the stud wall. From our perspective, I think the added cost and the potential for sort of fair wear and tear claims or dilapidation claims at the end of the term of the agreement is something that I'm a little bit wary of. So I think a lot of the properties that we generally look at have got two separate reception rooms, which is handy.
Yeah.
But
it makes
yeah,
your life a lot easier, doesn't it?
Oh, so much easier. Yeah, I just think, you know, the lead-in time to getting the property set up, if you don't have to do any major works yeah. like that, it's just so much shorter. And it enables you to, you know, market it quicker, get it filled quicker, and obviously, you know, get it producing revenue sooner. Yeah, I think other than that, those are really the main bits. Obviously, doing the numbers, definitely. I think now we've got to a point where, you know, I kind of know the area that we operate in really well. So I'll have a gut feel for what the rental should be for the property itself and what the rental should be for the rooms. So I have also got a relationship with a couple of agents where I'll say, look, like this property, but realistically, this is what we're going to be able to offer, bearing in mind the numbers and the condition and all that kind of thing. So, you know, as things evolve, it is quite nice to have that relationship where you can sound them out and say, look, be honest, you know, it's on for this. You've seen the property. Is it really worth that?
Yeah.
And they'll go, well, yeah, the landlord is asking for a little bit too much because when we valued it at this, but he was insisting or she was insisting yeah. on it being marketed at that. And it's, you know, it takes a while, obviously, to get to that stage, but it's quite nice to have that in your locker because then it kind of makes the negotiation a little bit easier if you've got the agent on your side already.
Yeah. You know? I did a podcast recently for the HMO Experience about how to build rapport with agents and why they should work with you or landlords directly. And I think what you're saying, Matt, is absolutely key. When it comes to rent in particular, everybody benefits if they understand what they get out of it. So one of the things I was going to add to what these guys have just said is little things like having a chat to the letting agents, get on well with them. Use that first viewing, if it is your first viewing, as an opportunity to build rapport with them. Because there are loads of people doing exactly what you want to do in your area. It's a competitive market out there.
Yeah.
So if you can stand out just by doing little things other people don't do,
yeah.
and Steve mentioned Magic Plan, Matt talks about the laser measurement, those things are really, really good because you can start not only showcasing your knowledge and experience by saying why you do that,
yeah.
but also little things that most people don't do.
Yeah.
And that's the benefit of you listening to this podcast. You can use some of those things, even if you don't think you've got any experience or any track record or credibility yet in setting up and running a rent-to-rent HMO business.
Mm.
The only thing I would add to that, I saw location on TV last week, and Kirsty Allstott was going around a property with a couple, and the bloke, the husband, who was part of the buying couple, was about 6 foot. And he just could not visualise this empty property if they could get their furniture in there. So Kirsty got this poor guy to lie on the floor and go, well, that's a double sofa there. And that helped him to visualize whether the room is big enough for his sofa.
I've done that.
But I think that's standing up. Like, yeah. When we go into the eve to see, like, is this going to be, am I going to be able to stand up in this room?
Well, the reason I mentioned that, of course, is obviously for those of you not on the YouTube channel and just listening to the podcast, I'm slightly more vertically challenged than these two gents. So I definitely couldn't do that. But just food for thought. Yeah. The last thing I was going to ask was, Steve, haven't you seen a property yesterday for rent-to-rent?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
So we went to see a property. We took it on yesterday and we did all the things that that we advise. And the most important thing is to systemize it. So we've got Courtney, who I've mentioned before, she's the property manager. She will be going out in the future and going assessing those properties. Because she's got a standard template that she works to, she can feed that back to me and then I can make a fundamental decision. But at some point, she'll be making decisions on her own.
Mm.
The challenge you have is if you don't systemize it, then you've got to be present all the time.
Yeah.
So having a document or a process or a step of actions that you go through every single time will create leverage, free up your time, particularly as your portfolio starts to grow.
Yeah.
Or if you're in full-time employment and you want to take on someone part-time to do this stuff for you, if you can then document that viewing process, get them to take a load of photographs, a load of video, put that on a shared folder somewhere so you can view that in the evening if you can't be at the viewing in person. Because as I said at the very beginning, it's all about speed. And if you can't get to the property, but you can get someone else to do that for you, then you're still in a similar sort of position to be able to make a judgment call relatively quickly.
And what happened with that property, Steve?
So we took it on.
Cool. Excellent. And how long was the viewing?
15 minutes.
There you go. And when did you put an offer in after the viewing?
16th minute.
Okay, there you go. And that's the power of knowing what you're doing and having that systemized, as you've actually said.
And acting quickly. You know, you said right at the top of this episode, it is, rent to rent is about speed because you're in competition with other potential, rent to rent businesses or, with families. I guess we've just come out of sharer season, so particularly the types of properties that are suitable for rent to rent during sharer season, like you need to act quickly to, take the opportunity and get the property onboarded. I think as part of your process, do you then have also a standard sort of list of questions that you would ask and when you go around?
No, it's not really asking questions at that stage because it for us, and it depends if the property is already occupied or not.
Yeah.
But it's more about the suitability of the property. So, for example, the one that we took on yesterday is already occupied.
Okay.
So it's got it's a little four bed. It's got four people in there. One joined in September, one joined in August, one joined in May, and one's been there for 2 years.
Okay.
So we actually had the privilege of meeting two of our new customers. So we asked them about are they enjoying it there? Have there been any problems? Because it's all very well, the agent saying there's no issues.
Yeah.
Chances are the agent's probably never stepped in that property before and haven't got a clue. So it's always good to ask those questions of the people actually living there.
Yeah.
And everything come back fine. I could feel the heating was on, so that's the first thing we changed. No, only joking. the rents that they're paying are probably not what we can achieve. So at some point, we will start to walk the price up and we'll do another episode about how you do that and walk up price over a period of time.
Yeah.
But the property looked, from a decor perspective, perfect. The toilet's flush. The hot water came on.
Yeah.
All the doors were secure. Every door had a thumb turn lock on it, both the back door and the front door.
Nice.
The shower pressure was good. The water drained out of the sink and out of the shower and out of the basin in the bathroom.
Sure.
So as we were going round, the agent was sort of looking at us and sort of like wondering what we were doing as we were turning on showers and turning on taps and looking at plug holes and all that type of stuff. Another quick tip. When you're looking at the basins, particularly if you're taking on en-suites and things like that, check to make sure that each basin's got a plug.
Mm.
Because if it doesn't have a plug, what the customers will tend to do is stuff toilet paper in the waste hole, and then where does that go?
Yeah.
So little things like that, and a plug costs like £2.99 off of Amazon, so it's sort of minuscule. Fortunately, they all have plug. So all those little bits and pieces, checking to make sure that the oven works. If it's a gas hob, turn the gas hob on.
Yeah.
One of the problems with gas hob is sometimes the electric spark doesn't work.
Yeah.
If it's an electric hob, then that will heat up relatively quickly. So all these little checks as you're doing the viewing is building up confidence in that I'm not going to be faced with potential issues and challenges, time, because it's going to take time to sort out those problems. We go live with that on the 18th of November. So because we've done those things, then we're 99% confident that that's going to work well for us. That something might crawl out of the woodwork, but we'll pick that up as we go forward. But and if it wasn't occupied, we'd do exactly the same checks, only that we would just have to find four customers for it.
I think one of the things that I did when I first started on this journey was, after a few viewings, I started compiling a checklist of, you know, different either questions to ask, or like you just went through like different things to check. So whether it's in the kitchen or the bathroom, or, you know, checking sure the lights are working. I think one thing you mentioned to me one time was you take your phone charger around to check all the plug sockets are working.
Yeah. So we look at this in two distinct phases. So that was the viewing that we did yesterday. When we actually take a property on, and maybe we'll do a completely separate episode about that, we've got a 108-step checklist that we go through, some of which we've already tested as part of the take-on process. But there's 108 things that we check, and as long as we've got a check mark in each of those boxes, then when the first customer arrives, although it's a bit different in this instance because we've already... we're inheriting four excellent customers. So some of it we won't have to do. But if that property was empty, then we would go completely through that checklist. And as long as we've got a check in each box, then when the first customers arrive, they have a positive experience.
Yeah, for sure. That's handy. That's cool.
Yeah.
I don't think I've got very much more to add to this. I think the next stage, like you mentioned, will be actually onboarding the property. So we've gone through, we've covered a few points with regards to, you know, carrying out the viewing. So obviously the pre-prep that you do before you get to a viewing, you know, making sure that your numbers stack up, you know, a few of the essentials in terms of when you're there actually carrying out the viewing. So, you know, compliance aspects, you know, making sure the basics work, so that there's heating, there's water, and then building the rapport with the agent, which in my mind is probably the most important step in all of this, because, you know, they are very much the gatekeepers to enable you to get access to more properties, right? So I think for now, if you're happy, we're going to leave it there. We'll wrap it up. Thank you very much for listening and watching this episode of the HMO Experience. Just want to make sure that you give us some feedback and give us some comments about what you thought about this episode, whether you have any additional points to add. Make sure you also watch and subscribe to our YouTube channel, the HMO Experience, where you can see the three of us in living colour. And if you want to continue the conversation as well, and make sure you like our Facebook page, the HMO Experience, where you can also connect with other people that are doing something similar to what we're doing. Look out for HMO Hacks on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook as well. The three of us will give our own little takes on specific questions that you guys ask, or specific points that we think, you know, need to be expanded upon a little bit more. And we'll make sure that we'll have all of our social links in the show description below. And next Monday, we're going to bring you another great episode of the HMO Experience, when we will be covering off. Oh my God, I don't know what we're covering next.
What are we doing?
Viewings for buying HMOs.
There we go.
Thank you, Jamie. That's good. So until then, have a great week. It is goodbye from Jamie.
Bye, everyone.
Goodbye from Steve.
Goodbye, everyone.
And see you later from me. Thank you very much.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the HMO Experience. Don't forget that all of the resources mentioned in each episode will be available on our website, www.thehmoexperience.co.uk. We regularly update our website with new content to help you along your HMO journey. So make sure you check out www.thehmoexperience.co.uk for more details. Also, remember to join our online community by liking the HMO Experience Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel.